Are there any questions or comments? There's a lot of space here if you want to come closer. Anything you want to share? Could you hear the question? The other day I talked about the lower belly and connecting to our depth, the depth of our being, and that sometimes it's easier to access that place of depth through connecting to the belly. So what was your, and what's your name, sorry?
Sandra.
Sandra didn't find that to be the case. What was your experience?
I think you also said, like, don't access it through the head, mm-hmm. and that I have accessed it before, and that it became, like, pain. Mm-hmm. And I think I focus more on the, like, go up in the head, into the...
Right.
Yeah. I'm usually very, very sensitive.
Okay. So there are so many ways of coming into experiences of our deeper being. In a way, everything is a way into the deeper being, or everything is already connected to the deeper being, and so everything is a way to experience that. With the lower belly, in my experience, it's like a long-term affair. Is that for Suzanne okay there?
Yes.
If you maybe here, Katrina? Looks kind of open. Here. Thank you. So this may be Katerina, if you want, you have more comfortable lily pad. Thanks, Stefan. So sometimes connecting here might immediately give a flavor of not just being far from the head, but being what we call deep. And other times it might not. And for some people, they don't feel anything here. There's not a connection. But I do find it worthwhile for many of us, including myself, just when I remember feeling the lower belly. And one of the fruits of that I could mention is, and one of many, but is in times of intensity, where you did a really great gesture of that, where I think you said you were trying not to access the depth through the head because Jaya said not to access it through the head, but you were in your head telling your head not to, etc. And is that what you said? Okay. So even when that's happening, there could be still a nice, clear sense. For example, one time I was in a foreign country visiting a neighboring foreign country where I'd never been and didn't know anyone and didn't have any like phone number or whatever. And we had arrived in the dark and we were staying in a hut that had little walls of grass, like literally only grass. And in the middle of the night, well, 3 o'clock in the morning or so, I heard a couple of men on the veranda of this little hut, a hut like maybe two, maybe three of these mattresses. And so it was very close by. Language that I don't know, etc. This is the kind of situation where normally I would be completely terrified. So I was. And this said, it is totally safe. So I was freaking out and okay. And it was okay. And that's just one example of where that would be like maybe the worst possible scary situation for me that's not dangerous. It actually ended up not being dangerous. But so many things unknown and so few, nowhere to go or no easy solution. And who knows if I would have freaked out, maybe it would have been dangerous. I don't know. I still don't know what happened. But and to me, nothing happened. So kind of even in the worst case, the potentially worst case scenario, when it isn't, it's okay. And in a tricky situation that is tricky also. So it gives a kind of, actually one of the things I want to talk about today. That training ourselves to how and with what tools do we tune in where we want to tune in. And so for men, not for everyone, because I don't find anything that's for everyone, any one thing. But for more of us than you might think, that just dropping down here, feeling this part of the body, may be worthwhile in a long-term friendship. Is that good enough for now? Okay. So someone today said, I wish I could get my mind to speak Tamil, the language of here. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if we could just tune the thinking and emotion and energy patterns just to another language that we don't quite understand? Maybe that would be terrifying, like waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and But the possibility of today at lunch, it was the best lunch so far because I wasn't like trying to get my son to eat one more bite, please, one more bite. I want to go rest, one more bite. It was a fun lunch because he got to create the situation of a pretend fire with the bowl of food on top of the sticks on our veranda and speaking a language that he and Shahar had made up, which was blah, 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 etc. And he finished much sooner and we were all much happier. So finding maybe also that kind of playful solution that comes from within the problem in a way, where we don't let the repetitive language kind of weigh us down. We hear the same thoughts again or whatever. And so playfully we could speak gibberish to ourselves, or we could find a way that we just don't quite listen to the language. So it, by the way, could be a nice practice here where we have a lot of Tamil coming and some Sanskrit coming most of the hours of the day. And sometimes we can't help but tune to that, but other times we have the chance to, okay, that's happening, and. So we're playing with, no matter what's happening, tuning into something else. I like to think of that like a radio, which probably no one even, do you even know what a radio is if you're like under 25? A shortwave radio. where you actually have to use your fingers to tune, turn the knob and find, and it changes sometimes. It's not always exactly in the same spot.
This is, that amplified babble is, it's a great teacher. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Those great teachers. Yeah. Sometimes it's helpful to think of, like, after the retreat, how sweet it will be to think of that retreat where they had the bull races in the afternoons. 1, 2, 3. Apparently, I found out last night that it seems to be bull races, which I think is a first. I don't remember that in any other year. Maybe it's a first and only. So one way of finding, so the inner language in response to the outer stimulation gets repetitive, gets and we don't like it. Correct? Is that too much of an understatement? Yeah. So there are earplugs that would not be a mark against you. No. And sometimes it can help, like, to think of the end of something. We're in a relationship, or we're in a technique, or we're in a life, or we're in a job, or we're in a whatever. And our inner reaction, the repetitiveness of our inner reaction to whatever it is so unbearable, so unpleasant, so little space, or etc., so much rage or whatever, so little space with so much energy trying to get through, that it doesn't seem to be sustainable living. Thinking of the fact that there is an end to everything, there is an end to the relationship, there is an end to the life, to the job, to the bull races, to the announcement of the bull races, or whatever. Even in the moment where it's intensely on and then gone. And then intensely on and gone. And then gone. And then, meanwhile, there's that meditation where there aren't the bull races being announced. And is there more focus, clarity, stillness, and silence? Not necessarily. So sometimes we focus on something as the source of a problem. And it isn't quite true. Not only is it my reaction to, but it's also, even when that seemingly cause of the problem isn't, there's a less noticeable continuation of the same. Often, not always. I am sure glad that it's not 24 hours. And again, just thinking of the actual end, there can be quite a sweetness about, so like the Bodh Gaya retreats that I mentioned that some of you have done. There are so many things that were easily taken in as unpleasant. And afterwards, so much a part of the overall, the whole experience. And in some ways so important that that wasn't left out of the whole experience. And in some ways, it has a sweetness. I always remember an example that really got to me, that really helped, was someone saying they had trouble with their partner snoring at night. They shared a bed. And then someone sharing that they used to have that trouble with their partner, and the partner is no longer alive. And the sense of the sweetness of the snoring. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes just with a little bit of shift, not even space sometimes, but a tiny little shift. Mm-hmm. Like maybe nothing needs to be different for pure meditation to come along. It can just help us feel what's actually happening. What's the friction? So what I guess we could call the talk is maybe tuning into freedom. I don't really like the title, but I didn't like any of the other titles that came to mind either, so good enough. We could call it blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. So for example, I don't want to do your work for you because then it won't work for you. But each in your own feeling into the source of the friction or the pressure or any. She asked physically or mentally, I said any. Is there a way that, okay, there's a sound. It so happens that it comes in as noise. It so happens that noise brings, how would you describe, can you feel the first, the initial? Fire?
Clenching.
Clenching. It might be anything for anyone else. Anything else for anyone else. So already if we kind of slow motion that, there's an experience of our sensitivity, vulnerability, it's actual. There's an impact. There's also an experience of our programming. I'm sure there are people who love to hear the bull races. I'm not joking.
Not to hear what?
The bull races, if that's what it is. Maybe it isn't. It makes them so happy to hear that same sound. It must be. Or even if they can't even get there, but so they're so happy to hear it while they spray DDT on their. It brings them. And still, I like this sentence that came a few times the last couple of days. What if nothing's wrong? So, yeah, what if nothing's wrong in the sound? But also, what if nothing's wrong in the reaction? Our shape, some of us, so happens to be that shape that sound brings about that reaction. And that reaction happens to really hurt. Or it reminds us of what might hurt. And then the next reaction of trying to close, trying to keep it out. What if still there's no problem? There's still nothing wrong. Sometimes even having that kind of let's just say terrible stimulation. What's terrible stimulation for you? For some people. Sometimes it can even act like what Gurdjieff talks about as a shock. Which would be like, just this morning I was sweeping an insect out of my room. It wasn't a scary insect, but it kept trying to, I think, get safe under something, including my foot, and I almost squished it and thought, maybe you better go outside. And so I tried to sweep it outside. It held onto the broom, the bristles of the broom. So I was sweeping, and it's going with the broom. Okay, so we go outside, and tuck. I tried to shake it. So we say, shake out your clothes in the morning, or shake out your... Maybe you need to... give it a little shock so that the thing can let go. Gurdjieff talks about these shocks. As necessary input to help adjust and allow the natural progression or growth or unfolding. So just like our bodies know how to grow up, and they do it by themselves pretty much if they get decent conditions. And it's not quite the same, it's not quite as determined how it goes. It's more open, it's more free for each individual. There's more variation. But there is an inborn way that in decent conditions, with some practice and some life experience and some love, some quiet, some shock. Taken with kind of confidence, calm, confidence and calm, confidence / calm, or playfulness, creativity, why not? Kind of a gambling. This is it. There's not another. This is it. So, okay. I thought the retreat would be, this is it. That what's naturally in us and knows how to do it by itself, so to speak, without whether or not we're trying to figure it out. A really deeply natural blossoming. Our deeply natural capacities don't hide anymore. And so, Keith, this is such a great example, because where we'd want to go is we would so easily want to, okay, then give it to me. Bullfights 24 hours a day. And no. It's like, it's this kind of feeling together with life. What's enough? And when is it just, I never use earplugs in my life, but I need earplugs and Netta G, Jonathan G. I'm going to try that. Because it's free to do. I don't mean that the earplugs are free, though they were a gift to you. So in that sense, they are as well. Someone from a previous retreat, where it was much noisier, I think, gave us a big pop. And also, maybe you always use earplugs, and maybe you just play, okay, what do they mean? By tuning in even with okay, so Ikkyu, which is such a great name, you can probably pronounce it correctly, I'm looking at you, Rowan. He's a Japanese poet, Ikkyu. Ikkyu. Okay, sorry. I'm not reading the Japanese though. Translated by Blythe. If you break the cherry tree, where are the flowers? Already, just that. But in the springtime, see how they bloom. The vast flood, so vast is very big. Flood, when there's way too much water. The vast flood rolls onward, doesn't stop. But yield yourself, so that means give into it. So we find a way to go with it. And it floats you upon it. So float is when you stay on top of the water. So I'll read it again. Maybe just to say, because Ikkyu, he was a monk, a Buddhist monk in Japan. I don't know when exactly. I won't even try to guess. And he liked to hang out with prostitutes, like under bridges, and drunkards, and that means people who drank a lot or whatever, as their past, as what they did. They just drank. Drank alcohol of some kind. But he kept his robes, and he kept to his practice, and he practiced, that was his company to practice with. He loved women. He loved also life. I don't know if he drank or not. If you break the cherry tree, where are the flowers? But in the springtime, see how they bloom. Bloom, how the flowers open. The vast flood. Yeah? Rolls onward, but yield yourself. So our flood is sound. And it floats you upon it. Yield yourself. Yield means surrender, give in. Yield would be let them go first, kind of. Like in traffic, yield means you don't have the right of way. That means you don't get to go first if someone else is there. So it's like not trying to go first, but going with. And it floats you upon it. So tuning in, but not to something. Tuning in to what's, where are the flowers in the cherry tree? And even if we kind of break it apart, even if we break it apart, often there's still flowers in the spring. So even when the living quality is okay, somehow. It finds a way, often, not always. Even after Hiroshima, how would you say it properly? Hiroshima, after the bombs were dropped, the very next spring, people wonder, because the cherry trees are so important in the Japanese culture. Is that it? Is that the end of the cherry trees? Do we have to bring some over from Korea or whatever? The very next spring, so whatever that is, 9 months later, 6 months later, there was blooming. So even when we feel devastated, this most vulnerable, impossible to get at, has more power. And doesn't overpower, it just comes again. So we may as well have another Lunig poem here. Someone was getting, like, trying to get the name, and I must say that I spent quite some years also trying to get the name. So it's L-E-U-N-I-G. L-E-U, so L-E, like elephant, U, N-I-G. Someone was like, is it Lungi? Then like, okay, I'll ask at the end of the retreat. Lunig. I was Googling, like, Lungi, L-U-N-I-G, and couldn't find it. So last time I spoke, I mentioned the teaching of Dogen's teacher to him about stay home, or not just thinking and hearing about meditation and staying. That's like being outside the gate. That's good. We're close. We can smell maybe what kind of tea is on or whatever. But actually doing it, actually feeling this is your life and you're staying. Here you are. Not hiding. Not showing off, but just calmly, he said, calmly inside. And another way to say the same thing is keep going with the flood, with the living quality that blooms somehow, that we can't find, but we can tune into.
What is
calmly? Calmly, con quietud. Calmamente? The feeling that we might have, sometimes you get home and there's so much to do, but sometimes, how to get there is the name of the poem. How to get there. Go to the end of the path. So it's the opposite image. Until you get to the gate. How to get there. Go to the end of the path until you get to the gate. Go through the gate and head straight out towards the horizon. So the horizon is the farthest thing that you can see, and it isn't a place. Keep going towards the horizon. Sit down and have a rest every now and again. But keep on going. Just keep on with it. Keep going as far as you can. That's how you get there.
That's how you
get there. If we get that feeling of staying home and keep going as the same thing, two opposite images, it can help get the feeling of tuning in, yielding to the flood, and blossoming. Are there any questions or comments yet? Yes, please, Duti.
Can you say something about what if so that like the same clenching?
Yeah.
With a shot and the noise. What if the noise is what you
Wait, sorry, I couldn't quite hear that.
Sorry, what if the noise is what you
No, don't rewind. Keith said?
About clenching?
Yeah.
So what if that clench response is a response to an experience of apparent death, peace.
Yep.
What if the inside responds to clenching?
It's the very same thing. This, look at my hands. Contraction.
What if? Your body, your being, but my body, my being responds through clenching, through shock, to the ever-changing apparent experience of depth or subtlety. So that which theoretically one might hope would bring peace, reaction is that clenching, is that shock.
Yes. So I'm saying in one way it's exactly the same thing. In touch with our sensitivity, vulnerability, and not beingness, not in controlness. And another way to say it is, so what? Yes, please. Of course. I'd love that.
I didn't mean the first one. The first one was just amazing.
Okay.
The first one was just going to be, okay, it's going to say what?
I'll broadcast you. I'll broadcast the bull race.
Is it on
tape? Yes.
With several people directly in there?
Yeah. It's just the, because over here we hear them really well. It's something in the roof, but this doesn't travel there. So he said there are two things, but really the first thing, no, because it was just moaning, which would be like complaining, but why not? Let's moan.
Well, the moan is good, then it's been that so what again and again for many, many years.
And still deepening, and still deepening, and still deepening. That's why so what. Not so what, like, who cares that it hurts. But, like, it doesn't fundamentally affect the blossoming.
Yeah. That's the trust bit.
That's the fact bit.
Fact.
Yes. Isn't it? Wait, isn't it? Yes. And the second bit. I wish you could have seen his hands, because it was like bull horns when he did the two. It was nice. There's two things.
That's a chosen thing.
He said that's choice in sign language. That was like a by the way, I think. One, two, three.
yeah. So you said about
totally take your time. And not, I didn't mean that in a sarcastic way. I'm actually seriously.
It feels like I just say the same thing so many times to you. It's just, it's so to hold on to.
Exactly.
Or to aim at.
Exactly. Exactly.
At all.
Exactly. In fact, there is nothing.
Yeah.
That is exactly the point. That there's no point. There's not even a point to aim at.
Yeah.
There is no thing to aim at. Did you hear what he said? There's, he said, or do you want to say it louder? No, sorry. They didn't hear what you said. He said first he was hesitating to even say the second point, the second issue or whatever, because he feels like he thinks he said that to me so many times before. And then, is that okay? Am I translating or whatever? Broadcasting. Amplifying. Just plug in here. He said, but, and he was going with his hands like this, there's just so little to aim at, if I summarize. And I'm saying that is actually exactly my Dharma talk, thank you. There is nothing. And that is why it's your Dharma talk about struggle. There is nothing to aim at, and yet we can tune in to that nothing. Wait. Logically, it is not enough, and in fact, it is enough. And now Stuji has years that he can say, right, yes. Even though clenching, even so, something is deepening and something blossoms every spring, no matter what. And it is beautiful. And it is a big deal in Japan. No. It's a big deal. But if we then make a big deal, like in the culture, you should go and get your picture taken, I believe, like next to the cherry blossoms. And then it isn't there. But it is. Anything else there to say yet? Take it like anything else. Anything else. Anything else. Anything. Is there anything you want to ask to clarify anything said so far today? At all? On any, whether just a word or... There's nothing to hold on to. There's no place to land.
The horizon.
The horizon.
Can you repeat the question?
If I would use a different word from aim. And then Katya said the horizon, and I'm saying, yep, the horizon. Sometimes. Sometimes it's dark.
The horizon in the night is dark. Okay.
Sometimes it's foggy. Sometimes there are trees.
Yeah.
And that means sometimes we feel totally lost. Right? Sometimes we feel totally frustrated, overwhelmed, confused. Oh, I thought I had something to aim for, and now that changed. Can't even find my intuition today. something must be wrong. No. Maybe something is right. Just like inverse. So play, just why not take it the other way? Maybe it's all a sign that deepening is happening and blossoming is going to come at some point. And it's going to be beautiful when they fall to the ground as well.
What if we change direction for intention?
Give me an example or tell me more what you mean.
There's nothing to aim for, but I want to be a better person. I want to grow and to learn. Those are intentions. They're not specific.
Where would that intention rest? Where would it come from? Where would the change arise from? Could you hear his question? And you? Could you hear him? No.
If there's nothing to aim for, no goal, what about having an intention to be a better person, to cure cancer, to do some positive projects?
You have children.
Where does that arise from,
the intention? Where does that intention come from? Where does it rest? What does it express? What is it an expression of?
Some desire. Some ambition.
Just love. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. It's good to be clear where it rests and what gives it food. And who said it to us, where did it come from? I have a friend, lovely friend, student. Who was doing a job that was very helpful, service work, working with addicts in a residential rehabilitation. So a place where people who can't stop taking something or drinking something go to try to find a way of living that is living. And he was living there to be of help. And he felt yes, but no. And he was studying psychology and doing meditation retreats and practicing. And within the last year, I heard from him and he said, I just want to tell you, Jaya, that I've really found my calling.
Right.
My calling, mi vocación. What feels like a good or even perfect fit for him in his work and practice together. And what that is in prison with the ones who are considered the worst, teaching meditation. And he was asked to present a talk about his work to a big group of people who do similar work with all kinds of people, so not only prisoners. And he said, I can just tell you that we basically work with, he has a co-leader, we basically work with two principles. One is borrowed from other people who work with people in prison, and that is don't do someone else's time. Doing time means being in prison. Don't be put into prison for someone else. So because of someone else's idea that you follow. Someone told you, maybe sometimes, to do something, or you were with friends that were doing something. That often happens literally. You were just in the wrong car and you got put into prison. You were hanging out with the wrong people, so to say. You got into prison. But just also in the mental, in the psyche, where what I thought was a worthwhile intention wasn't mine. The source of it wasn't from my horizon. And it did have ambition and desire, which are not our friends. They don't have to be our enemies, but it's up to so-called, let's say, us from the inside, knowing who we're dealing with here, ambition and desire. How can we work with that? Is that clear, that first one?
Is that the advice?
The advice, the statement that they actively work with the prisoners. The prisoners take in and then find themselves saying also, I don't want to do someone else's time. Yeah? Which includes, inside myself, my own prison house. The whole system is there already. The guards, the prisoners, the bars, the wanting to escape, etc. Feeling lower, feeling higher, punishing. It's important to take into account, to accept, to realize these kind of, let's say, powerful forces in us. How easy it is to get caught up into being right, being the prison guard, being wrong, being the prisoner. Kind people go in, take the job. Wow, I really needed a good job, a regular job with a good salary. Okay. There was one young man who was in the army, and then I think he got injured or something happened. That was over, and he got offered a job as a prison guard. You know prison guard? Yeah? And he thought, that's a great job opportunity. We might not think that way, but for him, it seemed to be. And slowly he's in prison and he starts to do what the prison guards do, which is someone asks for toilet paper and you say, wipe it with your hand. The guards say, wipe with your hand, instead of bringing the toilet paper. It so easily happens in us, among us. And just to feel when that's happening, a right and a wrong, something's wrong, and then we go to the prison system. Just to feel, how is it when I think I'm right? Or when I think I'm wrong? Or I think I'm in power, or I think I'm a victim? I maybe not even think, but I take myself to be better than, or lower than, or more powerful than, or less powerful than. It doesn't feel good. It has a certain kind of pleasure, both of them. Both of them give us something. It's not really good enough to live on, but we manage to live on it. And just coming out of that, that's like when we get naked. Something hurts, but I don't know if something's wrong. Maybe something's right. The second principle that my friend and student works with the groups of, they happen to be young men. It's not that only young men are in prison, but he said, the second thing is something we don't talk about much, but we have it in the atmosphere. And that is that there's goodness in each one of us. So it's going more to the source. Where when I'm not sure if there's some goodness in here that I can go from, move from. If I think there might not be enough, or there isn't actually any, unless I make it so, Then we go for right and wrong. Then we go for the vulnerability feels too much, and that. So not telling yourself so much, that can help sometimes when it's possible, but mostly if it's possible in the atmosphere to just feel maybe there's nothing wrong, maybe there is enough, maybe there's this goodness, inner goodness. And that from there does sometimes arise an intention that's helpful temporarily to aim with. Because otherwise I'm so easily distracted from that. Because it comes from such a subtle place. But where it rests and where I rest. So that when the intention is actually going against what's happening, I can just rest. I can be rolled along with the flood. Floating. It's very deep. Even when we can't find it, so like the cherry tree, we can try to open it looking for the flowers. And we can say, look, there's no flowers, Jaya. Just staying in no place. And sometimes, yeah, we can see our goodness in action, sometimes through an intention, sometimes without intention, like the smell of the flowers. They go where the wind goes. Tuning in to nothing. Exactly. Sometimes with the help of something, like the lower belly, sometimes. But still, even there, resting with, I like the phrase living quality or freshness. Which just isn't a thing. And even if we would say, okay, I'll tune into nothing, and we make that into a concept, that isn't it either. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice, each in a beautifully individual way, respecting also the group way. Maybe nothing needs to be different to find a way to be yourself in freedom. Just today. May our practice and our lives be deeply immersed in the flood of momentum towards liberation for all, everywhere, at all times. Including ourselves here and now. just as it is. Please enjoy this time now. Feel really free being in the hall or standing, walking, lying, anywhere. As well as easily and freely falling into the flow of the schedule of sitting and lying together in the hall while we have the chance.